from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, I guess we have a few things to talk about today. How are we all doing? Evan and Tiki on this Monday. The New York Jets begin their season in a little over 6 hours. We will get you ready for Aaron Rodgers' real New York Jets debut. Plus, Tiki Barber got very, very dirty during his broadcast yesterday. We'll let you listen to the audio clips of that. But we have other things we need to talk about, specifically what happened yesterday at MetLife Stadium. Hi, Tiki. How are you today?
You know what happened yesterday at MetLife Stadium? At halftime, my beautiful daughter, Brooklyn, got to accept my 14th ranking on the Giants 100. That was the best part of Sunday for me in New York for the Giants. Everything else was, I won't call it a complete and utter disaster because there were some things, but there were mistakes that I saw made by Daniel Jones that I also saw from Caleb Williams, that I saw from Bo Nix, that I saw from Jaden Daniels. The difference is those guys are rookies, and Daniel Jones is in his sixth year in the NFL. And there are things like reading wrong through progressions. There are things like not taking the easy throw. There are things like looking flustered in the face of clean pockets. Those are all things that Daniel Jones needs to and has to do better. Otherwise, this Giants team is going absolutely nowhere. Now, I am not willing or ready to scream and yell and say, bench him, I can't take him anymore. Put Tommy DeVito in, or dare we say Drew Lock, or the season's over. It's only one game. He hasn't played since he tore his ACL a year ago. But Daniel Jones, on Friday, we talked about him. And my take then was he needs to play great in order for this team to believe in him. And right now, there is not a fan. There is not a pundit. There is probably not a lot of people in that locker room that feel like Daniel Jones is their answer at quarterback. And I know that's not saying a ton, but it's saying enough. Daniel Jones has to be better. Otherwise, he will not be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. And people want to put a timeline on this. I'm not saying do it today. I'm not saying do it next week. But I'm giving him a quarter of the season. One quarter of this season, and you got to move on from Daniel Jones.
You know who believes
if he doesn't get better.
You know who believes in Daniel Jones? Brian Daboll believes in Daniel
Jones. Of course he does. He has to. And if I had Brian Daboll's hat on, I would say the same thing. I think that John Mara would say the same thing. I think that Joe Shane would say the same thing. You have to believe in Daniel Jones because you still need him to be a better player. And as soon as you start doubting him, as soon as you start putting him under the spotlight of negativity and threatening his job, then you know that he's going to fail. Right,
because they've already threatened his job.
Yeah, well,
they spent the offseason trying to replace him.
They've indirectly threatened his job, but if you directly do it, you know that he's falling apart. He's got a quarter of the season. Otherwise, the Giants and their regime, his Dabes and Shane, they're going to be a threat. Right, Daniel Jones has a quarter of the season. That's it. I'm not going to scream and yell until then. I know what he did bad. I could break it down. It's probably boring for all of you all to listen to. And it's not all his fault, by the way. But Daniel Jones has got to be better.
Yeah, they did a lot of things crappy yesterday. But for the most of the fans that are there, the 80,000 people that spent a fortune and sat in traffic and bought a lot of food and got indigestion, they always find the need to scream at one person.
Yes.
The truth is, you should be screaming at 51 different people. Because that was crap yesterday.
Of course it was.
That was crap from top to bottom.
And you know what it looked like, Evan? And this is almost why I need to see another week.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a preseason game.
It felt that way. Not for the Minnesota Vikings. Not for Sam Darnold.
And I told you, Sam Darnold's in a better spot. Do you not remember me saying this on Friday?
You did say that, yes.
And did I think he would start 10 for 10? No, I did not.
I didn't think that either.
But he was in a better spot with better talent around him and a really good coach in Kevin O'Connell. And we saw it. But that's beside the point. The Giants looked like they were playing a preseason
game. Now, why is that?
Because they didn't play any preseason
games. But a lot of teams and a lot of players.
A lot of teams are better. A lot of teams have better talent. A lot of teams have better continuity, consistency from a year ago. The Giants have three new starting offensive linemen.
And they played reasonably
They have a rookie quarterback, a rookie wide receiver.
Yeah, played like a rookie quarterback, yes.
But you know what I mean. But there's a lot of new pieces. They have a new defensive coordinator. They have a new offensive play caller in Brian Daboll. It looked like a preseason game.
It looked like everything from top to bottom was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And I think a lot of us would admit, while maybe you didn't think the Giants were going to have a great season and there's still a long way to go, I didn't think we'd be sitting here talking about the Minnesota Vikings smacking them and beating them 28-6.
Great.
I didn't think that for a second. I didn't think that the pass rush would be non-existent outside of a little bit of pressure from Dexter Lawrence early in this game. I didn't think that the quarterback would look this bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of stunning because Daniel Jones, to me, has never been this bad.
He hasn't.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's had excuses of bad O-line play and not having talent around him. He didn't have that excuse yesterday.
Daniel Jones looked like he was trying to be perfect, that he was thinking through everything instead of just playing. Again, it's like a golfer who thinks about every shot way too much. And even if he at times gets it right, you know he's going to screw it up because he's thinking about it too much.
Now, why is he thinking about it so much? He's been in the league for five plus years now.
Because he's feeling the pressure of the issue of around his job.
You think that's what it is?
I 100% know that's what it is.
You think that all the talk during the offseason about, hey, we're looking to replace you. Hey,
on
we're
Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
They basically said, I guess we're stuck with Daniel.
No, you're right.
Not in so many words. I guess we're going with Daniel. That's what he said.
But you're right. But do you think yesterday, through all the mistakes that he made, through another pick six,
yes,
through missing open receivers, through every mistake you could go through with a fine-tooth comb by watching the All-22.
Which I did.
Which you did.
I watched the NFL Club, whatever it is, Premium Plus,
mm-hmm,
on the way home,
yes,
last night on the plane, the condensed version. Saw every play, but the condensed version. And my takeaway was, man, he missed a lot of throws. When I watched it this morning, I said, man, he made a lot of bad decisions. Some things are easy. First series of the game, he has Malik Nabers running a comeback. Now, Malik Nabers, it's a lazy-ass comeback. It makes Daniel Jones have to wait. And instead of just throwing it down into belly in the flat, he just goes through this progression unnecessarily, by the way. He goes through a progression and throws it back to the running back at his feet. And it's an incomplete pass. And so those are simple decisions. I want the comeback. I want the comeback. I want the comeback. It's not there. Throw it to the flat. You're looking that way anyways. Instead, he gets cute and says, okay, maybe somebody else is open. So he starts to move towards the middle of the field. There's nobody there. So then he turns again and goes all the way to his...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Left and throws it to the running back who he hasn't even laid eyes on until he turns his head at the last moment. So, like... I don't want to say quarterbacking is easy because it's so complicated, but it gets really hard for you as a quarterback when you make it hard on yourself. And I saw this a lot yesterday when I went back and rewatched it. Daniel Jones made it really hard on himself. And that's fine if you're Caleb Williams or Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels, but you're in your sixth year and you have had success. You don't need to make it hard on yourself. That's what was most troubling to me. That's why when I look at it, it says, man, that felt like a preseason game where you're just trying to get your legs back underneath you. And it's disappointing, obviously, but it's more alarming that he's stuck in this mindset that he should be way past. You know, like there's this confidence and this killer instinct and this mojo that comes with having to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And there have been moments where Daniel Jones has had it. I didn't see it yesterday. And to me, that's troubling. He works his ass off. I get it. He's big as hell. He's strong as hell. He's athletic. He's smart. He's a leader. All those things. But there's this it that he didn't have yesterday. Now, maybe he has it next week. I hope he does. But if he doesn't, and he doesn't have the week after, and the week after that, in particular against the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night, Daniel Jones has got to sit down. Otherwise, the Giants are going to fall apart, and everybody, not just him, but everybody's jobs are going to be a threat.
Tiki, I agree with everything you said, except for the clock portion of this, for how long Daniel Jones has been.
Why do you want it now?
No, it's not that I want it now. I'm telling you right now, if they come out on Sunday versus the Washington Commanders, a team, by the way, that Daniel Jones historically has had the most success in his career versus,
right.
And it looks like that. Where he has no confidence to throw the ball down the field, and he has what is ranked as the 12th most time in the NFL to throw a pass, because that was not horrible offensive line play.
This was not an offensive line issue yesterday.
Everything thing that we gave Daniel Jones a glimmer of hope for, if you were a defender like me, was,
and
like you, right? Offensive line. He's always played with a garbage offensive line. Never had a true number one wide receiver. The entire identity of the summer was about throwing the ball down the field and to attempt one pass last year, or last yesterday, of 20 yards or more in the air is unacceptable when that's the identity of this team. And that exudes no confidence.
Well, what is the identity? Is that the identity?
Well, that's the question.
Team?
But if it's not, I saw Tyrod Taylor do it at the end of last year, and I see weapons now that have the ability to do that, Tiki.
Yeah.
And if they're not doing that in the first half of this game, look at how the Vikings got in this game after their horrible start with that fumble. It was a pass interference because they threw the ball down the field to Dory Jackson. That woke everything up yesterday. If Daniel Jones is not capable of taking those chances behind this offensive line, I would sit him down at halftime and never think twice on Sunday because it is so beyond cooked at this point.
There needs to be an urgency. You talk about the identity. I don't know what the identity is. I can't tell you. I know what they want it to be. We talked about it on Friday. I know what they want to do. You can tell by how they built the roster. But why did Jalin Hyatt have 12 plays? Right? Why was there no shots down the field? Why was there the aggressiveness? Even if you're going to make mistakes, like we saw in the preseason against the Houston Texans, he took some shots downfield.
Right.
You know, one was intercepted by Derek Stingley, but at least he took the shot.
And that will open up the run game.
At least he took the shot.
It'll open up the run game, right?
It absolutely does. And so the identity is what's, from a coaching standpoint, is what I'm concerned about. But for me, it starts with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones looked like he was playing a preseason game as a second-year player, and that's not okay.
And that's the other problem. If it is a coaching identity thing, at some point, a quarterback who's been in the league this long and is, you know, part of the face of the franchise needs to be able to overcome obstacles, look at the other 51 guys on the roster and say, follow me, I will lead you. He exudes none of that and certainly exuded none of that yesterday. So it is impossible for me to believe that that locker room looks at him as somebody they can rally around.
You don't want to wait.
I don't want to wait. And again,
do you want to bench him now? Is that what you're saying? You're done with him now?
No. Halftime, Washington this week. If this is flat and they're not scoring touchdowns, I don't even care if they're not winning. If it's a 3-0 game, this team needs to look around. Now, we don't know whether they officially benched Kayvon Thibodeau yesterday. More on that later. If he is struggling like that in the first half and they are getting nothing down the field, that needs to be wake up call time for this whole team. And I wouldn't think twice.
Well, the reason you would do it is it sets an example.
Yes.
It sets an example.
That's unacceptable. And he's the same as these other guys on the roster.
When I go back and I think about Dave's first year, I felt like that was key. Earn it. Earn it. Not by, you know, being a captain and being elevated because of who you are, but earn it by playing, by being good, by doing the right things consistently. Earn it. And I don't know if that's still the case anymore. You got to earn it. And Dave's had instant success. Coach of the year. You believed in him. Hell, I still believe in him. But there's something, that little something doesn't feel like it's still there.
Well, here's what's weird about Daniel Jones, okay? Daniel Jones never sucked. You know, people may say that. It was never true.
I don't believe that he sucked.
He never sucked. I'm sorry. Sucked. Not sucks. Sucked. Like, he never did that. He was never bad. He was just average and had a tough time staying healthy.
Yes.
He has a wonderful year 2 years ago under Brian Daboll. He earns this brand new contract. And then last year, he did suck. But, as you pointed out a lot, Tiki, you would say, Evan, look at the offensive line.
Yep.
And you were right. I'm not saying that in a mocking way. You were right. You showed me, this guy's got no time. He's got no chance. Okay, fine. So we took last year and we sort of threw it out. And we said, you know what? No offensive line. He was battered. He eventually gets hurt. But this is a new beginning. He's got an improved offensive line. He's got better wide receivers in the room. Now we're going to see at least the good Daniel Jones. Because, again, he had never sucked until last year when he had no offensive line protection and was getting beat up. Yesterday, for the first time, and you people, you Giant fans, can act like it's been going on for 5 years. That's fine. You can say whatever you want. I don't think it's true. He hasn't sucked for 5 years.
Mm-mm.
But yesterday afternoon at MetLife Stadium in front of Giant legends and the daughter of a Giant legend, there is without a shadow of a doubt, he sucked. And to me, it was new. So for any Giant fan who says, oh, it's been going on for 5 years, has it? He hasn't been bad for 5 years. Yeah. He hasn't made those mistakes for five straight years. He was never this bad. So then it gets me to, how the hell did this happen? Is it the contract? Oh, that seems harsh.
I don't think it's the contract.
Is it the injuries? Did it finally get to him? Look, maybe, that now he's a puppy dog.
Maybe it is the injuries, and we don't know. Look, don't forget, 2 months ago, we didn't know if he'd be ready for the start of the season.
Yeah.
He looked great, obviously, in underwear. He was ready for the start of the season.
Yes.
So we have to assume that he's healthy. So I can't say it's injuries. He wouldn't be cleared to play if it was injuries. So it's not that. It's not that he sucked in his entire career.
He hasn't.
So what is it? And so the only thing I can point to is why I said this earlier, Evan, is that he's feeling the pressure of having to be great.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, I'd be done with him too. Because this is New York City.
Yeah.
There's pressure. You're the quarterback of an NFL team. There's pressure. They used a first-round pick on a stud wide receiver. There's pressure. They dropped a lot of money to rebuild the offensive line. There's pressure. Look, it doesn't matter the reason. All I know is what I saw. IFO. That's all I am right now. I'm an IFO. What I saw yesterday was not what I've watched for 5+ years.
Right.
You guys can say it. Some Giant fans can repeat it. This is the same. It's not to me.
Right.
It was new, and that's even more concerning.
He's mentally shot. Gee, I don't know why, because the team filmed themselves actively trying to get rid of him.
So you're with Tiki. You think that's what killed him?
You're a professional athlete playing the most important, hardest position in all of New York sports. You are the quarterback of the New York Giants. That's the hardest job in this town. And you had to watch on film this team actively try to get rid of you. And then on the Bears' Hard Knocks, you got Joe Shane. Oh, must be nice to have a quarterback. How could you expect a guy who's had all these injuries to perform? And they don't believe in him. They're calling plays out there like they're the Michigan Wolverines, and they're running, you know, draw plays. Let the guy sling it.
No,
if you don't believe in him.
Brian Daboll claims that there were big plays out there, and for whatever reason, and Tiki will explain it later, they just didn't happen. That's at least what the head coach had to say.
There was those two plays late in the first half where they ran two draw plays and punted. So you got Brian Daboll once again being afraid to unleash Daniel Jones for whatever reason. And we as the fans don't care what the reason is. If he's going to be your starter, Teague, Sean, Giant fans, then let him play and play to his strengths. If you don't believe in him, sit his ass down. Enough. Why do we have to watch this every single week if nobody believes in the guy?
I think it's absolutely preposterous and ridiculous to think that Hard Knocks and hearing that is the reason he's shot. If you cannot rise up as an athlete and use that as the little bit of extra motivation to come out slinging it in week one and instead use that as an excuse, oh, they don't believe in me, let me shelter, that is unacceptable, and then you were never meant to handle the pressure of New York being the Giants quarterback. I won't live for that.
We'll get your calls coming up. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. More on this quarterback, Daniel Jones, who was awful yesterday. There's no doubt about that. Plus, to me, there were more reasons for the embarrassment yesterday than just the quarterback. And I got to call out the head coach, because I thought the head coach showed a lot of 2023 cowardliness tendencies that we didn't see a year earlier. We'll address them coming up, plus more your reaction to what was a complete, utter nightmare on Sunday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. We'll get you set for the Jets tonight later as well. Daniel Jones is going to get a lot of heat today, rightfully so, but I got a major issue with this head coach, and maybe it's his fault. Well, it is his fault, but maybe his biggest flaw was that when he was first hired, his first impression that he gave us was this tough, gutsy, ballsy head coach.
Yeah, because he went for it.
Yes!
Right.
He went for the win. And it changed the whole complexion of that season right off the jump. He wasn't Brian Daboll. He was Brian Daballs, right? And it was awesome, and it was glorious, and the Giants were gutsy, and then he's yelling at Daniel Jones, and it was great. And last year, we had this discussion a lot, but it jumped out at me. It was alarming how some of his play call decisions to go for it and not go for it were very cowardly. And I thought that maybe this season with him actually being the play caller and maybe this season with more talent at wide receiver and the idea of I'm going to take shots down the field, that maybe we would see the old Brian Daboll. And early in this game, and I want to cite the exact moment because this is the one that really pissed me off, and I'm curious if the Giant fan would agree with me on this. The New York Giants are set up in a spot in which they got to go for it. They got to be aggressive. It was actually a 4th-and-3 from about the 50. So right at midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth and free from the 50. The Giant defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. It's 14-3 Minnesota. The Vikings just had that drive where they went 99 yards down the field. Remember that?
Yes.
And oh, by the way, remember how they capped off that touchdown drive? They went for it on fourth and goal from the 3-yard line. So the Giants have the football. And I was convinced we got the old Brian Daboll. You know why I was convinced?
Why?
Because of his play call on third and two. He designed a run play for Daniel Jones, and unfortunately, the Minnesota Vikings snuffed it out.
Yes.
Brian Flores was ready for
but
it.
That was back-to-back QB runs.
Back-to-back. Very good, yes. Back-to-back design runs with Daniel Jones after a Devin Singletary first down run of 5 yards. So when I saw that, I assumed, okay, I got no issue with that play call because clearly with fourth and 2.5 from about the 50 down 14-3 after your defense just gave up 99 yards, you're obviously going to go for it. I was absolutely floored slash disgusted slash embarrassed slash angry, whatever adjective you want to use, that he sent the punter out. Jamie Gillen's on the field ready to punt. And it was about the 12th time in this game Giant fans were booing. And in this case, I joined you. I was booing at home. So before I get to Brian Daboll coaching cowardly example number two, do you at least agree with me that this was a very cowardly example of coaching?
It was an interesting sequence because you usually, and again, I'm not an NFL play caller. I call games, so I see these things often. But it was a sequence that was setting up to go for it on fourth down.
Yes.
That's what it felt like.
Yes.
Right? When you run a play that's not high, I don't want to say high efficiency because it is high efficiency, but more like high yard gain potential, like EPA. It's not a high EPA play, but it could be, right? He could bust it, but it also says, I'm just trying to get half of what I need because I'm going to go for it on fourth
down. Because you're going to go for it.
Yeah, that's what it felt like
and
to me.
Where you look
especially
at,
when they were back-to-back design QB runs.
Back-to-back design QB. And here's the other part. There's 3.5 minutes to go in the first half.
Yeah.
You're giving the ball back to an offense that just went 99 yards down the field in a perfect world getting a 3-and-out to get the ball back with 2.5 minutes to go down 14-3 when the truth is there's a damn good chance the Vikings are just going to march down the field and eat the entire clock, which is almost what they did. Because the Giants didn't get the ball back until there was less than a minute to go. The Vikings are also getting the ball to start the second half. So think about how much of a, I had a word in mind, I'm not going to use that word, that's offensive. Think about how soft, how non-gutsy, how weak that decision is.
Yeah.
Not just from a fourth and three at the 50, which on its surface you should just be going for, but everything around it made that a cowardly play call.
Well, the challenge with saying it's cowardly is that at that point in the game, you don't know that you're out of it. It doesn't feel like you're out of it. You're only down 2 scores.
But I'm not saying go for it because you're out of it, Teak. I'm saying go for it because you're only 3 yards away from a first down. You're at midfield, and your defense on back-to-back sessions just got bludgeoned.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is that that if you go for it there, it rings of desperation. You know
really?
What I mean?
On fourth and three from midfield?
Yes.
That's desperate?
Yes, because you're doing whatever you can to stay in the game. You know, if it's 21-3, maybe, right? But it just feels a little desperate and imprudent if you don't get it. Because now you've given a team that's been gashing your defense less than half the field to make to go get another score.
This one, and I know you're going to get to others, was something I didn't have a problem with. I think at that point it was hold on to your pants, only be down 14-3, and figure out what the heck we have to talk about in that locker room.
I completely disagree, because we'll get to the other punt call, which I know is more egregious in people's minds, but this one's actually worse. Because again, this is where I completely disagree with you. Tiki, it's not desperation. It's confidence. It's belief in your quarterback and your offense that they could get 3 yards to keep that drive going.
Have you not watched the first half?
But then he's admitting I got no trust in anybody.
Right, but then you're also saying I have confidence in this being efficient and working out. I just don't think he had confidence that these things are going to work out. And so he's trying to be smart given what
Daniel has shown him so far in the day.
The other decision he made was more of a give-up call, and that was 4th and 3 from their own 37 down 28-6 late third quarter. That's a, hey, let's play the math game. We're down by 22. You can't win this game by punting it away. So I agree you should have gone for it, mm-hmm. but that fits more of the desperate call. And then the worst
part...
But
at that point, it is desperate.
It is, and I admit that. And I admit it's a horrible decision, and I think it fits in the Daboll not being the Daboll that we remember from 2 years ago. But honestly, because the game was closer earlier, that's why I thought the first one was even worse. I was even more annoyed by that one.
Yeah, again, he was just trying to get to that locker room and talk to him. That second one, I'm sorry. I know it's 28-6 and everything spiraled. There's still 4 minutes left in the third quarter. When you punt the ball there, you're not even giving yourself a chance to think you're Michael Vick in the Miracle at the Meadowlands or something like that.
Right.
What kind of message after a week of preparation does that send to the rest of the guys in your room when it's midway through the third quarter, you're down a little less than midway through the third quarter, you're down 3 touchdowns, every possession matters. Who cares at that point if you lose by 5 touchdowns? You got to go for it.
Yeah. It was a give-up call.
And his postgame was worse when he was asked about it. He said something effective. I thought that was, best for our team in that spot. Excuse me?
Well, look, here's the truth about Brian Daboll. Yeah. He does not answer a damn thing at these press conferences. And you could defend it by saying, Bill does it. It doesn't matter, just win. And that's probably the best argument. Just win games. We won't care. But asking Brian Daboll a question is basically walking up to a wall and speaking to it.
Yeah,
he doesn't give you anything.
And by the way, you also can't take what his answer is in the context of the question, because he's not answering your question.
Right.
To Evan's point, when you ask a question and he says something that sounds asinine, it's not because he's trying to provide an asinine answer to your question. He's just simply not answering your question.
I get it.
He's just giving you a rote response. It's pulling it from the back of his head. It's going through the synapses and coming out his mouth. It means nothing relative to the question.
There was a time where Giant fans loved and believed in Brian Daboll, and a part of that was because he had guts with the decisions that he made. I don't know what changed. I don't know. I can go back and look for the line of demarcation where Brian Daboll went from Brian Daboll's to Brian Day, no balls, however you want to play it, but he's different. He's not the same freaking guy.
I can tell you exactly when it started. The playoff game against the Eagles, he quit in the game. Now, they were getting their ass handed to him. He quit and coached like the game was absolutely over in the second half. Carried over into the next year, carried over to this year. Punting, if you make your living punting, I apologize, punting is for losers. You know what punting gets you? Fired in the NFL. Antonio Pierce, I love you. You did it yesterday. Bad move. Punting is for losers. And I'll just say this. You could put a pin in it. Brian Daboll is running out of bodies to put in front of him. That's all I'm going to say. Because he made the defensive coordinator the martyr. Now he's calling the plays, so that guy was wrong. Brian Daboll, you're running out of people to put the blame on. Start coaching like you want to win.
Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Let's start off with Nathan in Sussex. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Loogie just said that the best. The only guy that should be happy in the Giants organization is Mike Kafka, because Daboll was god-awful. And anyway, Tiki Barber, by the way, he got a very loud ovation yesterday at the game.
My daughter did.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Which is cool.
But, bro, why can't you just say that Daniel Jones stinks? He is completely garbage.
Because he stunk yesterday. Yeah, I know. I saw that on Instagram as well, or social media, whatever. He stunk yesterday. You can't defend him. He missed throws. He made bad decisions. It looked like a preseason game for a rookie. He was bad. But he hasn't stunk the entirety of his career. You know what I mean? And so it's easy to generalize, Nathan. It's easy to put this blanket statement around him, but it's just not who he in totality is.
Here's the problem, and I noticed this with Pete Alonso. I'll give you a Pete Alonso comparison. Pete Alonso hasn't gotten a lot of clutch hits this season. So the Met fan will say Pete Alonso has never gotten a clutch hit. Yes. That's a lie. That's not true.
Yeah.
He's had a bad year of getting clutch hits, but no one wants to hear that right now. And I totally get on a Monday afternoon after that wretched, disgusting display of football yesterday, no one wants to hear someone say that Daniel Jones hasn't always sucked, but it's true.
Yeah, it's been a bad stretch because it was this game and most of the games that he played in last year. So 4 of the 5 games he played in last year, 4 of the 6 games he played in last year, he wasn't very good. But you go back a season before, he was fantastic, right? And you go back 4 or 5 years, he was really good in his rookie season. So we know he can, and I think that's why it's frustrating with Daniel Jones, because we've seen him be good.
We've seen him actually look like a mid to top, you know, trending towards the top quarterback. But yesterday, it didn't look like that at all.
Let's go to Adam in Woodmere. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. I just want to say that I think you guys are completely wrong. Daniel Jones is absolutely terrible. This guy has not, he's seeing ghosts out there. I don't know what you guys are watching.
Well, you're not listening. No. Adam, you're not listening. He sucked yesterday. I said that 12 times in the open. He was terrible yesterday. But you want to get caught up in what happened 4 years ago. He hasn't always been this bad. That's what's so freaking crazy about it to me. Has he always been that bad,
lost,
Adam?
He's a lost cause. Dable is the reason he was good 2 years ago.
Fair.
He was putting him through schemes.
Okay, so we agree. So don't start by saying, what game are you watching? We all know he sucked yesterday. Everyone knows
you're
that.
Like, oh, he's athletic. He's good. He's this. No. He's not.
Adam.
He is athletic.
He has been good. He has been decent. I always hate this.
I know.
Because now we refight arguments from 5 years ago.
And you're defending... It's like we're defending his performance yesterday.
Nobody is.
No, you can't. Nobody can defend his performance yesterday. Hell, he won't even defend his performance yesterday. I'm sure if you ask him, what good did you do yesterday, he'll say, I had a couple good runs. It's good scrambles. Nothing else was good. And, I mean, maybe a couple of the throws, one to Malik Nabers where he had that little curl and sat down and got it out, got to him on time. He picked up 16 yards or whatever it was, 17 yards. Maybe that one was good. Other than that, he wasn't good.
Well, and that's what's so, to me, alarming about yesterday. He hasn't been here for 6 years being terrible. That's not true. That's rewriting history to think that we've all sat here for 6 years watching that slop performance that we saw yesterday. That's what's so crazy to me.
Right.
What happened? Is it the injuries finally paying a toll? Is it the fact the Giants have simply broken him by all the things that have gone on around them? Is it the fact he got paid? Hey, maybe Daniel Jones is like, I got paid. I'm rumored to be dating Kay Adams. I'm good. I got this great beard. I don't give a crap. There could be many reasons to try to figure out the why, but this idea that the garbage we saw yesterday has been the same consistent thing for 5 years, that's just made up stuff.
Agreed.
Look, it's made up stuff, and I agree he's been better than yesterday, but this is undeniable. He is now 60 starts into an NFL career. 20 of them, a third of them, didn't have a touchdown pass, including yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's had some kind of great run before yesterday either.
No.
Now, it does justify what a lot of people think they said about Daniel Jones, but that's the icing on the cake. It's just too many games now with this.
Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys, check this out, man. Forget about Daniel Jones. He's broken. It's the whole David Carr thing all over again. Why beat a fallen horse? Now let's go to the head coach, the Cowardly Lion, which is the perfect name dubbed by Loogie, because this guy, just like the quarterback, hasn't done anything since 2 years ago. In fact, the coach is responsible for preparation. Last season, the Giants didn't have a lead in the game until like game 5 or 6, and Loogie just alluded to the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles game in the playoffs, by the way, they weren't prepared and ready to play that game either. And this guy, you know, if we don't have an identity, it's not an indictment on the head coach. It's a conviction. An indictment is fired because I've already convicted this guy because he's scared. He punts on games. He doesn't coach to win anymore. You know, to win anymore. He coaches not to lose. What is he good for? And then,
I don't know what that means, though. I don't know what that means.
Hold on. Joe Shane also.
Ray.
Joe Shane, because, like, they didn't trade a fifth-round pick for Justin Fields.
Stop, Ray. Tell me what coaching not to win means. Coaching to lose. What is
exactly
that?
What he did. Literally punts on games.
I've heard that. It's become a cliche, and it's he coaches
but
not to lose. What does that mean?
Punting on fourth
he's
and three
scared.
From the 50.
He's a coward.
Yeah.
That's what it means. He's not Bill Belichick like he would lead you to believe in these press conferences with his aura that he walks up there to.
He's not Bill Belichick. He just doesn't want to answer a question. He just doesn't want to answer anybody's question. He's not Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, period.
Well, I think he just means the way he doesn't answer questions.
Right. But he's not Bill Belichick. I don't think he's trying to be Bill Belichick. He's taking something he learned from working under Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, by the way.
Playing not to lose. Is that the phrase that he used, playing not to lose?
Yes.
Coaching not to lose is, to me, from yesterday, fourth and three from the 50, saying, you know what, I'm going to punt it away.
But the
it's a very conservative decision that I think shows a lack of conviction in your specialty, which is your offense.
Or a lack of confidence in your offense.
Yes. Well, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we have a bad offense, but we're going to do something imprudent anyways. Does that make sense?
Well, then why are you running quarterback sneaks on second and third down?
I don't know.
Like, think about what he decided to do.
They were QB runs.
I apologize. Right. You're right. It was design quarterback runs with Daniel Jones. Why are you running that then?
I don't know.
You didn't allow your quarterback to make a play to get a first down when you were on your way to getting in a field goal range.
On back-to-back plays, I don't understand that. Unless he got lost in this play sheet. Honestly, I'm just saying. He got lost in the play sheet. Run it again. I honestly don't know.
But that to me is, you may not agree with this, that's the answer to coaching scared or coaching not to lose.
But I don't think that's coaching scared. I think that's getting caught in a moment with the play clock ticking down and you have to call a play and you can't find the perfect one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's on him.
Of course it's on him. But that's not coaching to not to lose.
I think we've seen a lot of examples of that. Mm. Even the Jet game last year was the same thing. Now, he had no faith in Tommy DeVito, clearly. I mean, he didn't want him to throw the football at all.
Yeah.
But it was kind of the same thing. And it almost worked, but it didn't work. And that's what it means. That's how I take it.
You know what?
Because I've seen a lot of that.
The Jet game last year was probably coaching not to lose. But it comes back to the same thing. You have zero confidence in what your offense is capable of doing with the quarterback under center, period. That's what it felt like to me yesterday.
Let's go to Kyrie in Livingston. What's up, Kyrie?
What's up, Kyrie?
Hey, how y'all guys doing? Hey, listen, I had on wanted to ask Tiki, like, you know, because he liked Daniel Jones a whole lot, and I was just wondering, like, I felt like if he would have liked Eli Manning this much, he would have a Super Bowl ring. I don't see what's the like about him. And then he calls Saquon Barkley the enemy. But when I watched Joe Shane on Hard Knocks with that smug smirk on his face while he was telling Barkley, go explore your options, and he did and landed a contract. Mm-hmm. When Mr. Merrill was saying, I don't want to lose Barkley, instead of putting his foot down saying,
right,
no matter what, Barkley doesn't leave, he let this dude run the show. And then he brought in Brian Burns, who I never heard of until the Giants signed him. And I'm not being funny.
Well,
I never heard of this dude until the Giants signed him.
But part of that's because Carolina sucked, Kyrie. I mean, they were just bad.
All right, so,
you weren't paying attention. They had no national games.
He didn't jump out. I watch highlights every night. I wasn't watching Carolina highlights seeing Brian Burns all over the quarterback. His highest sack total was 12.5. So y'all didn't want to pay Barkley. Y'all wanted to bring in y'all own guy, which is Burns. And then y'all let DJ take y'all out to the woodshed the year before and took that out on Barkley. And then Everett Roberts wanted to sit here and make it seem like Daniel Jones has been a good quarterback when the eyes don't lie. Daniel Jones has been an average quarterback that has some good games.
Yes,
but he has been a good
quarterback. But every time he plays against once he step up in class, like the Cowboys or the Eagles, he get thrashed. He get thrashed. So I don't understand what y'all logic. He hasn't always been terrible. He's always the average.
Yes. But Kyrie, that last part is where we agree. He has always been average. He wasn't average yesterday. He was atrocious yesterday.
Yes.
So no one's arguing that.
No.
What we've seen from Daniel Jones yesterday and last year with the excuses of, he's got no protection and the offensive line is bad, is not what we saw the first 4 years of his career. To me, it was completely different. And quite frankly, Saquon Barkley is the enemy. He plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. So how is that controversial?
You're dead to me.
Yeah. Not a bad first week for Saquon Barkley.
He's damn good. Glad also, I was on my fantasy team.
Kyrie would be a pretty crappy general manager if he didn't prioritize pass rush over a running back entering his seventh year. Sorry.
And also, him not knowing Brian Burns, that's a you problem.
Yeah, he's a former first-round pick who's been really good in Carolina. Watch a little more than Red Zone.
Jake's in Staten Island. What's up, Jake?
What's up, Evan? What's up, Tiki?
All
first
good,
of all, wanted to say, Tiki, congrats on being named in the top 100.
Appreciate you, dude.
Let's get into this. Daniel Jones, I mean, I feel like he's never grazed over being average. You guys may have different opinions, but he showed glimpses of it in that 2022 season.
Yep.
But any time after that, I feel like now he's lost all his confidence, and that partly could be due to Dable, his play calls, the fans, I mean, all over social media. But I think he's lost all confidence in himself and in the team. And I think it's holding the team back at this moment. And I think that a change needs to happen by the end of this week for next game, because I don't see us winning games.
I don't think it's going to happen that quickly, but I appreciate your call, Jake. But I do think there's a trust that you have to have in yourself and a belief that you have to have in yourself, because you just know it's going to work, right? You just know whatever design or situation that we find ourselves in, what we're going to call is the right call. And I don't think that that's happened yet for this team. And part of it is because Daniel Jones missed basically the 90-80% of last season, or 60% of last season. And so this growth that you need in order to be a good team, just it never happened. And now he comes back after his injury, and you hope that he goes right back to 2022. It's not even close to it. And so it's a confidence thing, but the only way to get confidence is to be good at something.
And you know what's crazy?
And he hasn't been good at something in a while.
If he went back to being Daniel Jones 2022, which was good enough to make the postseason,
yes,
that still probably wouldn't be good enough to come back a year from now. Like, he needed off of 2022 in that contract. He needed to be better.
He needs to be great.
He also needed to take a step off of that season.
And he's not playing great.
Not playing great. I mean, right. He's not playing NFL competent football.
He hasn't played great since 2022.
And I don't even think he was playing great in 2022.
Right.
He was playing decent in 2022.
He had some great games.
He had some great games, but he had an overall adequate to good season.
Above average season. That's right.
And getting back to that wouldn't even be enough for him to be retained.
No, not to be retained. Would it be good enough for the Giants to win? Yes.
Yes.
But to keep his job and to be the quarterback of the future, even though it's a cliche and I hate saying it, but I don't think he's done that. I don't know if he can do that anymore.
Daniel Jones feels very broken right now. Why is he broken? We'll examine it, including the fact that some Giant fans wanted to break Daniel Jones even more yesterday, so they waited for him to leave to taunt him. Mm. We'll get into that if that crossed the line. Plus, Dexter Lawrence had a strong opinion on Giant fans as well.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.